Big D Entertainment, in association with Dipsy Doodle Productions, presents the Dave Holly Hour, brought to you by the Sky Lounge and Tea, XL Chiropractic, and Quality Nails. The Dave Holly Hour features Sioux Empire Arts and Entertainment Conversations and has been recognized by the Sioux Falls Stage Awards with a special distinction for promoting the arts. A true lover of arts, entertainment, good food, and fun times, including an occasional Jack Daniels. Okay, so a few Jack Daniels. Here he is, Dave Holly.
Welcome, everybody. Such a pleasure to have you along on a Thursday. Another weekend eve is upon us. Woo, do we have a great conversation coming up today, basically the whole hour, with Matt D. about his new album called Phantom Locomotive. We'll tell you where you can get it. And since it's all his stuff and he owns the copyright, special treat at the end of the show. Gonna play one of those tunes for you. In the meantime, welcome to episode 80. Hard to imagine we've been doing this so long now, and we just keep on going, and we have continued to have great guests. It's just a pleasure to be able to do it. That's why I always like to throw a little toast in there, especially since we like to call it something different.
Time to grab your favorite beverage, lift it high, and toast it to being Thursday, a.k.a. Weekend Eve.
Hey, the weekend isn't around the corner. It's here.
So long, hump day and your frumpy way. We say hello to Thursdays with opening nights. The weekend is near and we can see the bright lights. Yes, Thursday, you're so hearty. We can't wait for Friday. So a day early, we start the party.
Things I always like to do on each episode. One is to give out a toast, and then the honorable mention coming up in just a moment. They actually came together on the same day. Here's our situation. First of all, the toast goes out to the art of winking. My wife is one of those very astute people, notices things. Last Saturday afternoon, after I got off my regular job, we decided to go downtown to the Carpenter Bar and have a libation before we went on to something else that evening. So we're at the Carpenter. It had just been announced the day before about, being able to take off your masks in public if you've been vaccinated, etc. So, we were maskless, but still, a lot of businesses are playing it close to the vest right now, and I don't blame them. And the food industry is one that I think we might see masks hold on for a while. But anyway, my wife says, I think that the food and beverage industry has learned the power of a wink. And she's right. Winking, it's a fine art. When you can't smile and show somebody that you're thinking about them, give them a little wink. I don't like that. So, I said that the toast and also
honorable mention
came from the same place. So, we continue at the Carpenter Bar. And there was this couple that, probably my wife's and my age, maybe a little bit younger than us. And I've told you before how much we appreciate seeing people hold hands and having public displays of affection. So don't know their name, even told them. I said, hey, listen to this week's podcast. Here's what I'm going to talk about, the fact that we appreciate it. And if only there were more of it in the world, people holding hands, looking into each other's eyes, and who knows, maybe they even wink at each other too. Okay, so congratulations to you two unnamed couple. Congrats on making me smile last weekend. I certainly appreciate it. Tell you something else, that one thing that we went on to later on that evening, which we might as well just keep the applause going for this. Didn't know where to throw it in, because I already knew that I was doing those two things for the toast and for the honorable mention, but you can never stop applauding for the Goodnight Theater Company. The Goodnight Theater Collective had the Fantastics. outside at the, I always want to call it something else. I think it's the Palladino Home Garden at the Washington Pavilion. That's where they had it, and it was a wonderful, wonderful production. They never seem to stop hitting it out of the ballpark when they do something. I know it's easy to use, but I have to let you know that the Fantastics was fantastic. You could add more superlatives and so forth. It was absolutely incredible. One of my favorite songs is Try to Remember. And I don't mean that I need to try to remember the song. It's Try to Remember a Time in September. And then at the end, when it's into December and so forth. But I've always loved that song since I first heard it back in about 1972 when I saw Fantastics for the first time. And it's one of those that it moves me. And then when 9/11 took place, and then the first big concert afterward, when a lot of artists got together and put on a special on a Friday night or a Saturday night, and you can donate and so forth. Somebody did that with acoustic guitar, and it brought me to tears. And, well, let's just say the feelers were going again last Saturday night. And so thank you to the Goodnight Theater Collective for always bringing us fantastic productions, no matter what the title might be. Tell you somebody that's having a fantastic year, that's Matt D. He's on the Dave Holly Hour next, and we're going to talk about that new album coming up.
Sure, they have darts, and you've heard me talk about how ruggedly handsome the trivia host is, but all caps fun never stops at the Sky Lounge and Tea. And fun is best had with your friends enjoying live entertainment, as in live and local. Yeah, the Sky Lounge believes in giving you the best bands, solo artists, and comedians from the area. The Neo Johnsons, Elizabeth Hunstead, Skylar Volks, as well as many others. And a great staff will make sure you enjoy your fun at the Sky Lounge in T, South Dakota.
He's never met a meal he didn't like. Once again, here is Dave Holly.
Welcome back, everybody. It's always a pleasure to talk to creatives. And in this case, when we're talking creative, we're not just talking about somebody that goes out, sings, plays the guitar. He wrote the songs, too. He's been having one hell of a year, single after single. And, in fact, we can say home run after home run. Mm. With the popularity of those songs, with the quality of those songs, and now it's all culminated for Matt D. in an album coming out Friday. How are you, sir?
Dave, thank you for having me.
Oh,
once again.
It's always a pleasure. You know, we've talked in the past, and we've known each other, 10, 12 years now, I think.
Gosh, has it been that long?
I think it has.
Man, old schools.
When we were getting in touch to put this one together, because it's been a while.
Yeah.
Because we were talking about, when's it coming out? Mm-hmm. Want to have you on.
Yeah.
And it finally worked out when we hit the week that it's actually coming out as well. But I was fortunate enough to have a sneak preview of this album.
Yeah.
And you apparently knew that I had a sneak preview of this album.
Yes.
And you asked me what I thought. And I said, well, you know, I've always liked your music. I've always liked your performing and so forth. And then I used a big expletive, but now I effing love it.
Yeah.
I mean, it hit me right off the bat with Flatlander. Just was boom.
I'm glad to hear that.
And I thought, there. And then as I kept listening to every track, going through it all, it's like, this is that perfect culmination of so many genres that came together.
Yeah.
What do you describe it as?
I think the best way I can describe it is hard luck Americana and bad man ballads.
Yeah.
I'm a dark writer. I'm not a real dark person. I'm moody. But I wouldn't call that dark necessarily. But I deal in the shadows. And so I think that it's a shadow recording. It's something that's done with the idea of this isn't really a happy-go-lucky sort of thing.
Right.
I think there's some upbeat stuff, don't get me wrong. But it's really not... I say, what did the guitar player Jason Haven say? We were laughing about this when we were listening to it in the studio. the final song is really the most upbeat song on the whole album.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, yeah, this is kind of a change from the other stuff. And I said, well, I've depressed you for 13 tracks. I might as well lift you up on the last one, right?
Very true.
There's only so much you can take. And surprisingly, I think it's the shortest song on the album. So, you want to, I want to stay true to my writing.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, I would call it Hard Luck Americana. And so when I say Americana, I'm talking folk, country, blues, early rock and roll. It definitely does not fall into the category of traditional country,
no,
or country rock or radio-friendly country.
Or even like Southern rock.
No.
But there's influences in there.
Yeah, and I think, Southern rock gets a bad rap. People say that, but... I think there are a lot of those influences, but I think that's where the Americana comes in. I think it's just a melting pot of American music styles. And I like a lot of old country. I mean, pre-1940s, pre-1950s type stuff. I like a lot of early rock and roll, a lot of blues, Muddy Waters, Howlin' Wolf. Those are big, big influences. I like a lot of gospel stuff. Sister Rosetta Tharpe would be a huge influence. Not only on writing, on performance. And so you take all of those elements and you put them together and it becomes just what it is. I've been told that people think my sound is pretty consistent. And that's good because I'm riding a lot of rides, man. I mean, I feel like it's a carnival. And sometimes it's gospel infused, sometimes it's really country, sometimes it's more rock and roll, sometimes it's more blues. And I think especially the players and the people and Mark at the production helm on this one really, really paid off, and it turned out really good.
If I'm not mistaken, when you finally had the chance to listen to the album, that's the only time that all of you were together, wasn't it?
Yeah. It was strange. Drummer Jeff Degnan, who was with me in the Profane Saints, played on the whole thing. And so it was nice kind of having a part of my musical past come into the present and be there and help arrange these songs on a percussion standpoint. And he said, Matt, we went around this like completely wrong. Because believe it or not, I went in with a click track. So a click, just something that was keeping time. And I recorded all the acoustic performances. And then Jeff came in afterwards and added the drums. And then after the drums were added, then, of course, bass player, guitar player, piano player, fiddle, mandolin. But pretty much other than Scott, the bass player, everything was worked on remote. And so drums and bass were done in the studio. Everything else was done on everybody else's terms, which worked out great. Everybody has their own creative process, but the first time I met Jason Haven, the guitar player on the album, the first time I met and spoke to him, shook his hand, was at the listening party, which blows my mind because it sounds like we've been playing together for years on the album. He just did a fantastic job. To have Mark really bring these people together and hand pick them and, go to them and say, would you like to be a part of this project? It was just the hugest blessing on this. But it was very, very strange. Other than a few messages, I had never met Jason until our final listening party.
Take us through the process from start to release coming up on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
What took place? Besides, obviously the idea you had, to have the album and the songs and so forth. But when you actually start saying, okay, I want to have an album, help me put it together. Where do you go first?
Well, I went to Mike Dresch first, and I was getting ready to record with him. And it was just the idea of an acoustic project, something a little bit more like maybe Plank Road Drag, which was an album I put out in 2010. And I was 2 weeks away from entering into a studio, and then I get a message from Mike, and God bless the guy, was done. He was moving on. He was going to do a 9-to-5 job. He was done with running the studio. He just still does a fantastic job with his advertising thing, and I wish Mike the best, but it really is all kind of thankful or it, you know, it's all thanks to him that it worked out this way. I said, who else do I go to, Mike? And he goes, well, you could try giving Mark Dom a call. And I said, okay. Never heard of Mark.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't know him. Sent him a message. Said, hi, you know, my name's Matt D. This is my website. This is kind of what I've done. This is what I'm looking at doing. Would you be interested in working with me? I would love to meet with you, talk with you. Heard from Mark a couple days later. And Mark is a hands-on guy, so he was like, I want to meet in person. I want to, you know, before we talk about anything, I want to meet you. And so I had brought some older recordings that I'd worked on and some demos and things in, and Mark said, yeah, I think that we can do this. A few weeks later, Mark came to me with an offer from Crazy Poet Records and said, we have this label. We have... this is what we have at our disposal. We want to sign you to a publishing contract. We want to sign you to a recording contract. We want this to be an exclusive relationship. We want you to be a part of our family. That floored me. In 2019, I was thinking about retiring from music. And I think my wife was like, you need to do something because you're driving me nuts. So I thought, you know, I'm going to give it one more shot, one more album. I have these songs. I had a lot of things put together, a lot of ideas. And so I went to Mark with, I think, probably 15, 16 songs. A lot of them got shaved off. Some of them I wrote on the spot to replace things that I wasn't real happy with. The South Side was not written until we started recording. So I just wrote that during the process of recording. It was a brand new song.
How long did it take you to write that?
15, 20 minutes.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's talent.
Well, it was what it was.
But it's one of my favorites on the album.
I appreciate that. But I mean, there wasn't a lot of thought that went into that one. It was just something I'm strumming on my guitar. And I hear that and I'm like, wow, that's cool. I like that. And the howls in the song, I did ad lib in the studio. I just thought, oh, maybe this would be kind of cool, kind of an old, like, kind of ghostly, because it's a dark, kind of a sad, you know, outskirts of hell type song. Well, really, what songs aren't on the outskirts of hell in my stuff? But, yeah, so some of those things kind of popped up. Rattle On was an old recording that I'd done with the Profane Saints, or rather with Kurt Mullins, the producer at the time. And we had done like a demo recording of it. I had Mark listen to it. He goes, oh, we've got to put that on. So, the cool thing about working with Mark was it's Mark's like he's in the band. And so he had a really good feel for, I don't think this song is right. I think this song is too long. I think you need to shave this down. I think you need to do this. This is what I recommend here. And Mark would tell you, I'm very, stubborn. And so I wanted.
In fact, actually, he did when we toured the studio.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm a piece of work, Dave. Mark deserves a medal and probably a large case of alcohol.
Well, you know, that is the first thing you notice when you walk into the studio is the bar.
Yes. Yeah. I'm pretty sure that the keg he installed probably had something to do with me and starting to work with me as some sort of a. A medicinal therapy, if you will. No. Mark is a veteran, you know, not only his work with Search for George, he's a songwriter, he's a published songwriter, he's been very successful. And now in the production realm, I've never worked with someone as talented as Mark. And so even though, I think there's something that I like about him is it's almost like a brother situation where he's almost like a big brother. And he knows he's been around the block, and so he's trying to guide me. And there's some things that he would concede, and there's some things he fought for. And I think it made the album better.
So you know where that line is drawn of when you get pushed and when it's you're just being an a-hole?
I would say 80% of the time I'm being an a-hole. Yeah. And anybody who really knows me can probably say, yeah, they're probably raising their hands if they're listening to the podcast right now. Yes, that's him. Yes.
All right. So as you get to know Mark and so forth, and first of all, when I toured the studio, the thing that I was amazed by is he takes everything analog first.
yeah.
before it all goes in.
Never done that before.
I was so surprised by all that with all the modern technology.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he was telling me the story of, you know, putting the whole studio together and having mm-hmm. to, like, basically rewire everything backwards a second time.
Yeah.
And everything that they did. But when it comes to that point of you going into the studio and you know that, you know, you're not going to be there with a full band
mm-hmm.
Until the listening party.
Yeah.
You have to have a lot of trust, too,
mm-hmm.
by the same token, right?
Yeah.
That he had in you and you had in him.
Yeah.
Were you at first kind of like, really, we're going to do it this way?
I think it was just the situation. I don't have a band.
Mm-hmm.
When I went in, originally, when I went to Mark, it was like, hey, maybe we can have some of this, like, program percussion, something simple. I'm thinking plank road drag, so I'm thinking banjo, mandolin. I'm not thinking studio players. I'm thinking all me. And then going in and seeing this, you know, I got a hold of Jeff, and I said, Jeff, do you want to play on this? Would you be willing to collaborate with me again? Jeff was the quickest yes I had, and he was like, absolutely, I want to be a part of it. And so I sent him the demos with the click tracks, and he worked on everything at home. And then I was in the studio probably 90% of the time when he was recording. And Jeff records to a click, so he never recorded to any music. So I he would rehearse and write his parts. He's a machine. This guy is amazing. He takes that click, he takes that sound, and he writes his parts, and he does the complete takes without any music, just to the click. And then Mark would line it up with what I had played mm-hmm. on acoustic guitar. And if there was anything that was kind of a little bit off, I would just go in and record another acoustic track and it was done. So I'd never played along with Jeff. Jeff actually played along to the click that I played to. So different. That's just not the way it's done. Okay, the way it should be done is Jeff and I with a bass player mm-hmm. in the studio doing the rhythm section, doing it all together. And so that's kind of where we get that backwards work. And then, you know, looking at bass players, Mark said the Scott Walters is solid. He is my go-to guy for studio work. He's great to work with. What do you think? I said, well, yeah, sure, if he's willing to do it. And then he said, well, who would you like to have play on it? I said, well, I really enjoy Rick Stoops fiddle playing, and I've never had fiddle on a recording. Can you approach him? I don't know how to approach him. I had him try some stuff on some Profane Saint stuff from years back, but we didn't really have the technology to make it work when we were doing it on our own. He said, oh yeah, no problem. So before I know it, I've got a fiddle player and a bass player. And then kind of unbeknownst to me, he had approached Jason Haven and said, you know, would you like to do this? And I think Jason worked on a couple songs. But Jason's a busy guy. You know, he's got, all these guys are busy guys. They all have jobs. They have wives, girlfriends, different bands. And so
a lot of irons in the fire.
Yeah. And so basically, number one, how do we get these guys to be a part of the project? But how do we make it worth their time? And ultimately, I'm really grateful that they said, hey, this is a worthwhile project. We want to be on it. And so we would send song by song to Jason. Scott would come in, do two or three songs a session. And it was all around their schedule. And same with Jeff. Jeff would come up. We'd book some time. He'd do the tracks. And then Mark put it all together.
Yeah, it's just amazing how it comes together in such a great fashion, too.
Yeah.
And I think one of the things that I absolutely loved about this album was the string section.
Yeah. Didn't Rick just knock it out of the park? He did, you know, I'm a mandolin player, but I'm a shoddy mandolin player. I can play mandolin on my stuff, but mm-hmm. you asked me to do Uncle Pen, and I tap out, you know. Rick is just, he's a virtuoso. He's an incredible musician. I don't know him real well, but I've played some folk festivals with him in the past. Just an incredible player, incredible guy. So grateful he could be on this. And then the piano player too, my friend Randall Wood, recorded that on a grand piano in his house and was able to help out on a track, which was amazing. I've just never had this whole remote, And when you think about it, during COVID, when all of this was getting reported,
right?
Yeah, nobody had to be there with each other.
I didn't have to mask up.
Yeah. Well, I mean, sure you do at times, but I mean, at the same time, how did this happen? I mean, I don't really think about it that often, but I think now I know why Mark maybe was driven to drink and put that keg in after all these people and all these pieces. He's kind of like the dungeon master, man.
Slightly.
He puts it all together. You know?
And he's busy. Oh, my goodness gracious, that man.
Yeah.
Well, especially, as you mentioned earlier, you alluded to the fact that you are a part of the family, basically the stable of Crazy Poet Records and Crazy Poet Publishing.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a tight-knit group.
It is.
That you happen to be involved in.
Yeah.
I'm hoping one of these times to get Natty Jean on.
Oh, God,
I've had,
what a talent.
Ben Gertner on and Brady Reed and so forth.
Yeah.
And everybody... And this is so true of this community anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody is just so supportive of each other. It's collaboration. It's not competition.
Mm-mm. No. The biggest competitor, the person I'm the most competitive with is myself. Mm-hmm. I want the next one to be better. I want this next song to be better or this line to be better. I want my harmonies to be better. I want my vocal lines to be better. I want my lyrics to be better. That's where the competition comes in. Collaboratively, you know, we have so many of the same players on the same album. I think Scott plays with Natty, and I think that she's actually in the studio right now with Mark working on, you know, new material. And what a talent, what a voice. Yeah. But how neat is it when you go on social media and you have another artist like her or Brady or Ben sharing your posts or sharing your music, and then we share it with each other. We post it on each other's stories. And, you know, I haven't really met a lot of these kids, but a talented bunch of kids. And they're all coming from different places, different perspectives. And to have it underneath, you know, that kind of Crazy Poet umbrella, I think David has done a really good job of assembling this and kind of starting this up and kind of steering the ship, if you will. And, you know, Mark, you know, kind of doing the same, you know, at the helm as
on
well.
On the production side of it and so forth. Yeah, but the two of them, I mean, that's a great collaboration that's brought this whole thing about, based out of Denver, but, you know, Mark here in Sioux Falls.
Yeah.
So we've kind of got that upper Midwest over to the west, at least to the Rockies.
Yeah, absolutely.
Connection and so forth. And I think one of the artists is actually Indianapolis area.
Yeah, Adrift and Skylines.
Yeah.
Yeah, Adrift and Skylines. A really, really talented instrumentalist. Works with rock guitar. He did one with saxophone that just, it's mind-blowing. Some really cool progressive rock, kind of original instrumental stuff. Again, not in my wheelhouse, but very cool to be on a label that can present that in the way that Crazy Poet has.
All right, so the album is called Phantom Locomotive.
Yes.
It's from Matt D. It starts off with a Flatlander. You've got 14 tracks on it.
Mm-hmm.
And as you mentioned earlier, Rattle On. The most upbeat is at the end, and also the shortest, but a lot of soul in there, a lot of blues.
Yeah,
we got a lot going on, and we're going to continue this conversation with Matt D. when we come back in just a moment.
Dr. Perry Langston and Dr. Corey Tooney know excellence is in you. That's why they provide you with excellent care at XO Chiropractic, improving your overall health in spirit, body, mind, and will. Get results the natural way. Arrange a consultation. 605-332-9235 or exochiros.com. Excellent care for excellent people. XL Chiropractic, located at 4309 South Racket Drive in Sioux Falls.
Welcome back. We continue our conversation with Matt D. and his new album, Phantom Locomotive, is out Friday. First of all, where will we be able to find it?
Well, you'll be able to find it on Apple Music, Amazon.com, Spotify, Bandcamp. You can also find it on my website. Don't break your wrist typing this, www.mattdhardluckamericana.com. Pretty much anywhere digital music is sold. I do plan on having CDs in stores soon, but I am able to ship direct internationally, so worldwide. So if people do want it on CD,
right?
We had plans of putting it on vinyl, but unfortunately, 2021, vinyl right now is delayed for all major manufacturers until December of 2021.
Wow.
So if you order it now, you get your
great
records.
Christmas gift.
You get your records in December. So had to make a tough decision to not go that route until turnaround time improved.
Yeah,
that's a lot of money to have out there when you don't have any return.
Yeah. So the Phantom Locomotive title, where did that come from?
Well, came from the song "Carry Me to Canaan."
Mm-hmm.
A Phantom Locomotive took possession of the tracks. That's a guy who's stuck. Story of a guy who's kind of stuck in a town that really doesn't have anything to offer, and he's dreaming of getting away, and he's thinking that maybe some ghost train will come on the tracks and carry him away to a better place. But the Phantom Locomotive doesn't always bring you to a better place. I like the term Phantom Locomotive, not to glorify it or anything, because the original term of Phantom Locomotive was from the Holocaust. That's what they called the trains that carried, unfortunately, people to concentration camps. Mm-hmm. It is not intended at that.
Right.
But the themes of the album
can have more than one meaning.
Exactly, people. But I think historically that's kind of what it stood for. This is more allegorical. This is more, it's about death. It's about longing. It's about a glimmer of hope. But it's kind of that, trains are kind of the way station, if you will, right? So you're going from point A to point B. Death is a transformation. Longing, loss, love. Lost love, it's all your different depots, right? Anybody who's ever had a bad breakup, right? That train leaves the station, that relationship does. Eventually the train gets to the station number two, right? That's kind of what it means to me in the album. I love imagery of the road. I love trains, I love locomotives. As a matter of fact, I think I told Mark, if I ever have the word locomotive or truck or highway on the next album, you have full right to lash me in the studio and tell me to rewrite it. Because I think I've absolutely dug my own grave there. But no, it's a journey. It's a journey of longing. It's a journey of death. It's a journey of love, of hope, of sadness, sorrow. That's the Phantom Locomotive. There's a lot of cars on that train.
That there are. And hopefully doesn't derail like a couple did this week.
Goodness gracious.
Yeah, terrible stuff. Yeah. But in terms of your locomotive and the way that it's going, when you started to release the singles and so forth, and you were getting some good press, you were getting some, a lot of great hits, downloads, whatever you want to call things in that digital world.
Yeah.
Did you go, I think this is really gonna be good?
I am my own worst critic.
Right.
So when I hear the singles, I think, why couldn't I have sang that better? Why couldn't I have strummed that better? Why couldn't I have written that line better? So that's what I do. I pick them apart. And so, yeah, if the lyrics on this sound like my life is a mess, it's not. But I operate on a level of misery, Dave, that would kill a normal human being. So I don't feel right unless I'm miserable.
Well,
right?
I think that's a part of art.
Yeah.
Regardless.
Oh yeah, you suffer
will find
through
that.
It.
You know,
yeah.
Whether it be visual arts, musical arts, comedy, and so forth.
Comedy, really?
Oh yeah.
Man. Mm-hmm. There's sorrow in that, huh?
Oh, there is.
Yeah.
A lot of it.
I kind of like that, man.
In fact, I will give you a heads up. It's just absolute early beginnings, but hopefully sometime this year, there will be a comedy festival that will be focusing on mental health issues.
Oh, wow.
Tentative title is Laugh Until You Cry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Laughing just to keep from crying.
Yeah.
Right?
Very true.
Yeah.
That's what we do, because we all hide things in so many ways.
Absolutely.
But in terms of you, though, because you said earlier that you yourself are not this dark.
Mm-mm.
So no. Where did it come into that being your genre for writing?
I don't know. That's just how I write. I've been through some things. Been divorced a couple times. I have an adult child. I have a young child. I'm in a really good place in my life.
Mm-hmm.
I have a really good stable home life. I've got great kids. I've got a great job. I don't know, but I think there it must be my counselor. It must be my way of handling things. That
it's your therapy.
Yeah, it has to be. I really don't know. And I've even had people in the crowd say, oh, come on. Can you just, can you cheer up a little bit, man? Like, give it a rest, you know? It's just really not my wheelhouse. I think there are people who can write inspirational. Sister Rosetta Tharpe, that gal lived a crazy rock and roll lifestyle before it was even rock and roll. But it was all gospel music. And she even said, you know, it's a lot because I was raised this way. This is what I was raised to perform. And I think she believed very strongly in what she was singing. But she also walked that line, you know, between good and evil, if you want to call it that, even. Maybe darkness and light would be a better term for that. When I write dark. But for some reason, it resonates with people. So that tells me that maybe that's shining a light in somebody else's
right.
darkness.
Pardon the French, but
yeah.
People are dealing with a lot of shit.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And especially this past year, have we ever.
Yeah. Dude, I mean, how the hell did I put out an album during the COVID?
Yeah.
Like, how did we do this? Nobody got sick. Like, I was one of the lucky ones that never got it. But I never went anywhere other than the studio,
mm-hmm.
right? But, yeah, I think that's... It's what it, I think that's what makes it worthwhile is when somebody says, oh my God, this song, you know? And I'm not trying to get too dark here or too personal, but there was a young man named Hunter Finney who his father and him used to come to my shows. And I've known his dad, Mike, for years. He's been a great fan, great friend. And, you know, we don't see each other real often. Well, Hunter, he used to play with a band called Minority Falls.
Yeah.
And he passed away at a very young age, at age 20. And I wrote Old Spirits in honor of him. That was a tough song, man. It was a tough song. Mm-hmm. This kid had a really bright musical future. But I wanted to convey that he's still here in a real way. And you can't really do that on a happy level. You know what I mean?
Right.
And I'm not trying to pat myself in the back,
no.
Toot my own horn. The song is what it is. But, you know, I wrote that specifically for him. And that was probably the hardest song I've ever had to write. That one got me.
I would guess so. And the other thing is, in that process then, how quickly does that one come about?
That took a long time.
I was just going to say, with the emotions that you're probably dealing with,
yeah.
When you're actually sitting down and, you know, putting a pen to paper or however you do it.
That's how I do it. I pick up a guitar and I use pen and paper and I scratch things out. And then I don't know if you remember the guy from Sesame Street that used to bang his head against the piano.
Yes.
He had like the crazy beatnik hair. I'm kind of like that. Oh God, it's horrible. And then you just, you want to set your instruments on fire and never play them again. And then, 5-10 minutes later, you might feel different. But I agonize over what I write.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I throw a lot of paper away. I rip things up. I scribble things out. I get completely frustrated and angry that I can't find the right word or phrase. I do use a thesaurus because it's very easy to use the same words over and over again. I want to become better, so I do a lot of research. I do take the time and do that, but when it's personal like that, I tell you what, it's a lot easier being a storyteller and dealing in fiction than it is in dealing with reality.
Right.
So for those people that are able to write like that all the time, I have all the respect in the world for them. I'm not a real topical guy, but that one was a departure for me. But I wanted to stay true to his spirit, but at the same time convey, in a way, Hunter is still here with us. And that was really important to me.
We're going to see you soon out and about?
I hope so. I am playing in Sioux City May 29th at Crash Boom Bang. Just a bar gig. Doing that one a couple times. I am at the Levitt at the Falls on July 22nd, kicking things off for a fantastic stream band called Pert Near Sandstone. Fantastic guys. I actually played a show after them at Vaudeville Muse in Des Moines 100 years ago. Not that long.
You're looking good for your age then.
Well, you know, well, depends on who you ask. But yeah, no, so it'll be really cool to not only open for them, but to hear them afterwards. They're a fantastic band.
Well, I'm looking forward to seeing you at the Levitt then as well, you know, because I just think that is one of the top attractions that has come along in the past few years here in Sioux Falls.
Yeah.
And it's brought such a different look at music to our town.
Yeah.
You know, because let's consider it, we are here in basically in the center of America, in the overall conservative Midwest.
Oh, yeah.
and so forth. And to have this great facility and all of a sudden see a lot of names of talent that we've never really heard of.
Yeah.
And then we go down there and we come out of there going, holy crap, that was amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was just fantastic stuff.
Where are these people popping out of the woodwork? Yeah. Really grateful to be just there.
Yeah.
You know, when the last time I was hired there, it was rained out. So I'm glad. I'm hopefully I get my
so
chance.
What's our date again? July
22nd? July 22nd.
All right. I'm going to write that one down and make sure that, you know, we keep thinking positive vibes for the weather on that one.
No rain dance that day. No.
Not to be had. We'll get rid of that drought beforehand.
Yeah.
So you said you're not topical per se, but are there social things that you're thinking about and that you like to convey in music to?
I would like to say that I think there's a little bit of the dignity of man in there. Mm-hmm. I think I learned that from Bob Dylan, Woody Guthrie, Johnny Cash, a lot of those more rootsy influences. They were all about the dignity of man and man's struggle. I'm definitely not a go party your rocks off, you know, type thing. But I will say, but I like to leave it up to the listener. I don't get political. I don't write politically. I know there are a lot of religious references in my music, but again, that's just to convey a feeling. I think religion, mythology, philosophical terms put in there, I think they are igniters. They start fires. They get people thinking. It's provocative. And that's why I use them. I use them as symbols.
Mm-hmm.
And so sometimes it's iconoclastic. But, I like writing in that realm. I like using the images, death, God, the devil, love, brokenheartedness, man's struggle. Yeah.
Honest man's struggle.
Yeah. It's not pretty.
You
know?
No.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm definitely, you know, riding on the darker side of the tracks. So, hoping that, you know, everybody gets to the good side and gets to the good things. But, yeah.
Speaking of the tracks.
Yeah.
Did you do the photography of all those wonderful shots that you share on Instagram and so forth of tracks leading and so forth? Or
I did not. No.
You did not. Okay.
No. Thankfully, I'm a graphic artist by trade,
right.
So I have a lot of access to royalty-free clip art. So I can thank a royalty-free clip art site that we have a subscription to through my day job for those. I wish.
I mean, there's some fantastic stuff.
Yeah.
I think that in and of itself would be a great album, but obviously of a different type.
Yeah,
absolutely. A photo album instead of musical.
Man, I got all kind of respect in the world for photographers. You know, worked with the photographer Kevin Vogt on, you know, he's the multimedia producer for The Warehouse and does a great job. And man, I tell you what, some of the equipment he has, I couldn't even wrap my head around, you know. It's a lot more than just pointing a lens at something and taking a picture. Photographers, it's an art form like no other. And I think a lot of it has to do with timing and a good eye. Yeah, absolutely.
Capturing light.
Yeah, absolutely, man.
Or, you know, even those small things, just like I can't remember. I think it was a national newscast the other night that I was watching. and all of a sudden you can see the cameraman's shadow.
Yeah.
on the reporter.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, you know, this is not a small market. This is a national news.
Yeah.
And you had that happen.
Yeah.
So there's all those small things that people, you know, just take for granted when things are right.
Oh,
yeah. And then when they're not, then all of a sudden it's, you know, this big collective gasp that the world has taken.
Have you ever been in this a television studio?
Yes. Yeah.
They're dirty.
Yes, they are.
Have you ever seen like
horribly
like,
so.
Who does your housekeeping? That's what I know. I've been on two television sets, and I think there's such high traffic because there's always something going on, and it's like a 24/7 the news cycle. But like the tables, like you want to talk about like hand sanitizer use, man. They should have those underneath like the seats.
I'll bring up old style of broadcasting. My first job in radio that I got a paycheck from was of a place that we're both familiar with, Sioux City, Iowa.
Oh, okay.
KSCJ when it was out on the highway.
You're kidding me.
No.
KSCJ.
Working with Dick Michaels. KSCJ News, 1360.
Yeah, I used to listen to KSCJ.
Yeah.
Randy Renshaw.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, all those guys back when I lived in Sioux City.
But,
they're great people.
You know, and this was long before people started going smoke-free in places.
Ashtrays.
So Dick Michaels could actually read the news with a lit cigarette dangling in his mouth.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well, that's the way it should be.
It was crazy. You know, the place smelled the high L, but it was woo!
Yeah.
Otherwise, learned, though.
Oh.
You know, that's the thing.
Man.
You know, I love, we've got a lot of great talent in this community.
Yeah.
Media, music, art. Mm-hmm. Visual arts, performing arts, what have you.
Yeah.
Spoken word, everything. Great talent. But we also have a lot that have been very fortunate to have been brought up in a time where there was no such thing as a rotary dial phone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think back to some of my radio days, doing a phone interview over the radio and having to flip a switch up to ask a question and down to hear the answer.
Oh, no.
You know, so that takes away from a just nice, good flow of conversation like we're having right now.
Yeah.
You know, so, but you learned.
Yeah.
And I'm so thankful that I got that. So what was your learning experience when it came to playing the guitar, learning how to write songs?
Okay, so I started out in punk bands in high school. And I dabbled in like four-track recording in college, but it was nothing to ever write home about. And you know, kind of in that 90s alternative kind of punk, indie. And I really enjoyed playing music, but I wasn't very good at it. I played bass guitar, if you want to call it that. Okay. Then I saw Bob Dylan in 2001 at the Orpheum Theater in Sioux City. And he had Charlie Sexton on lead from Archangels, okay? Larry Campbell, who is an amazing multi-instrumentalist, and probably the coolest rhythm section, the coolest band I've ever heard in my life. And here's Bob Dylan. He would have been about 60 back then. That was about 20 years ago. And I said, this is where I want to live. This is what I want to do. And I didn't know how to play guitar. I mean, I dabbled in guitar in college, but never anything. I went out and bought a Takamine, like dime store acoustic, no electronics or anything like that. And I started learning chords. And
self-taught then?
Yeah.
Everything?
Yeah. I guess what somebody, I was reading something about B.B. King and like a folk music book, because I started digging into like who Bob Dylan listened to. Okay, so Bob Dylan used to listen to all these blues guys. So you got Howlin' Wolf, Muddy Waters.
Muddy Waters invented electricity, boy.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't you know it, baby?
No. So you know, you got Willie Dixon, and then you have Woody Guthrie, and a lot of these old time people. And so I delved into American folk music and roots music and blues, and I didn't listen to anything that was current for probably about 3 or 4 years. And I just immersed myself in this, you know, Johnny Lee Hooker, Ray Charles, Johnny Cash, all of these people that Dylan pointed to were important to him. Some of them were his peers. Some of them were influences. And so from there, I learned how to play three chords. And I really haven't learned any more than this three chords, Dave.
You're playing for ZZ Top?
Well, you know, no. Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. So I kind of learned my thing. And then B.B. King said something about don't take lessons. Don't go out there and learn that. He said, you can do that if you want. But what I think you should do is find out what you want to sound like and play like that. Try everything you can to sound like the people that you like. And that's really what I've done. I'm kind of a doppelganger for all those people. I hear a riff. I hear a tuning. I hear this. What is that? And so I sit at home and I woodshed it. Am I any good at it? I don't know. I'm okay. But that's really how I started playing guitar. So 2003, I picked up the guitar a couple of years after I saw Dylan. By 2005, I was performing in bars, coffee shops. By 2006-07, I had a great band backing me up.
Yeah.
We had a really good 13 years together. We did really well on a local, regional, kind of Midwestern circuit. You know, played some cool places, met some cool people, did some cool things. And now I'm working with Mark Dom and David at Crazy Poet Records, and we're going to see what happens now.
All right. We look forward to the next one. But in the meantime, it comes out Friday. It is Matt D's Phantom Locomotive, basically available wherever you can get digital music.
Yeah.
And eventually you're going to have some CDs and so forth available when you're out playing.
Yep.
Again, you'll be live this summer at the Levitt, which is July 22nd. And looking forward to that. Always love those shows down there. July is going to be a busy month for me. I don't know if I'm supposed to let this out yet, but my full-time job at the Citibank this year gave you an option of a couple of things if you wanted to take advantage of them. One was either you could take a 12-week sabbatical at a fraction of your wages, but if you just wanted the 12 weeks and still have some income and at least get your rear end covered on your insurance, everything else, you can do that. Or option number two that I took, you could, for 2, 3, or 4 weeks, volunteer for a nonprofit organization. So I'm going to be working, volunteering for a month for Sioux Falls Jazz and Blues.
Dude, that's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So I'm looking forward to that. That's going to be my July, but that date I will make sure that I reserve to make sure that I'm down at the Levitt
to
see you hopefully great sales before that. Of course, we always like to end with a couple of the standard questions.
Yes.
One of which is, first, when you're not entertaining and working in this field and so forth, what do you like to do to be entertained?
What do I like to do to be entertained? I like dark true crime shows. Like Mindhunter. Right now I'm watching one called Mayor of Easttown with Kate Winslet. It's fantastic.
That's on my list.
Yeah, oh, great stuff. I'm kind of a geek, too. I like superhero movies. Man, Zack Snyder's Justice League does it for me, man. You know, restore the Snyderverse. There we go, hashtag. There's my shameless plug. But no, I love superhero movies, Marvel movies, stuff like that. I like spending time with my kids, throwing around the football, having them drive me nuts and drive me up the wall and doing the dad thing. Yeah. And I like spending time with my wife, Jen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Any other hobbies?
I do a lot of design for a living, so I would like to say that that's a hobby, but really music is my only hobby. That and, you know, driving my children crazy. It's a two-way street.
Yeah, so you've got to equal it out.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Matt D., always a pleasure.
Thank you so much for having me, man.
I appreciate it and appreciate the sneak peek. And thank you that all of this is, let's remind people, original music.
Yes.
Penned by you.
Yes.
Which means after the commercial break,
Dave Holly,
I'm going to play one or two of them to wrap up the show.
Dave Holly has my permission to play my music on his podcast.
Did you hear that, BMI? Did you hear that? All right. All right. Hey, Matt, thanks again. Appreciate
it. Thank you very much. It's a pleasure.
And we'll be back with some of Matt's music to wrap up the show in just a moment.
Ladies, when it's time to give your nails some love, get that extra special treatment from Quality Nails on South Minnesota Avenue in Sioux Falls. Manicures and pedicures that look great and make you feel fantastic. Zaya and Tony provide professional care for your hands and feet, whether you just want the basics or an extra special look with added flair. Oh, and guys, it's okay to treat yourself too. quality nails. Call for an appointment, 605-334-1463.
From the Dipsy Doodle Studios at the world headquarters of Big D Entertainment, a 40-square-foot home studio in the middle of America, it's Dave Holly.
Welcome back to the Dave Holly Hour. Thank you so much, everybody. Appreciate what you do with the downloads, the likes, the shares, etc. on social media. And I'll talk more about that in just a moment, but as promised, it's so nice when we actually have somebody that writes their own music, and they have the copyrights to it, and they say, go ahead, play whatever you'd like. From the Phantom Locomotive album, this is Flatlander from Matt D.
Coming off old Foggy Top, southbound holler on another drum. I got a sack of tall freight about a pony high. I built a mean as a mule, Lord, I'm fixing to die. You know that broken road, it never saved a soul. It only leads to the fire, ruination below, below.
Absolutely love that song, and Matt D, your music just continues to grow on me, and I love the way that you have mixed so many different things into your Americana, that you like to call it. And we're so thankful that you are in this area, in the Sioux Empire, and one of the great creatives that we have throughout all arts and entertainment around the Sioux Empire. Thank you so much. And again, thank you for listening, taking the time. Thanks for likes, shares, everything else that you would do, as I mentioned before we played that song. Also, the fact that there is a website, DaveHollyHour.com, that you can go to. Check up on a lot of things. We've got some news and notes on there occasionally. I do need to get caught up on a few things. I do apologize. It's been a busy past couple of weeks. And It takes a little time and effort sometimes, and sometimes we don't always have that, but I try to keep it up best I can for you because you deserve it. There's also DaveHolley.com if you want to take a look at some of the other entertainment that I happen to do. In the meantime, I'm going to say sayonara. Just remember, we'll be back next week with another episode, and it's going to be Alex Gilbert Schrag, Executive Director of Sioux Falls Jazz and Blues Society, and does she have a lot to talk about next week? Fun stuff coming your way on the Dave Holley Hour. I am Dave Holley, and for me, every day is a holiday.
The Dave Holley Hour has been brought to you by the Sky Lounge & Tea, XL Chiropractic, and Quality Nails. If you would like to contribute to the continued success of this podcast, go to DaveHolleyHour.com. At the bottom of the front page is the additional link section. Click on the orange button, Dave Holley on Linktree. You can order merchandise, become a Dave Holley Hour VIP, and make contributions to the show. The Dave Holley Hour is produced in the Dipsy Doodle Studios by Big D Entertainment.
Thanks for listening.